Part 2. Applying the 8 Principles to Daily Life. Chapter 9. The Morning Rush. Morning battles are frequent in the Petrocelli household. At 11, Finn is still pokey and unorganized in the morning. Being on time is a concept that escapes him. His 8-year-old brother Jake is a little easier to get going, but he gets stuck in whatever grabs his attention. And 4-year-old Natalie is in daycare. She never wants to get going and is clingy with her mother, Melissa, who's not a morning person herself. Ken wants his wife to be happy and comes down hard on the kids when he thinks they're making her mad. Mornings are always rushed, and both parents are left feeling guilty and ineffectual as they head off to work late again. How is the behavior intended for success? Morning power struggles, daily resistance to getting out the door, yelling, being ignored, and being late kept Ken and Melissa in a state of morning frenzy, unable to see anything but stubbornness, defiance, and uncooperativeness in their 3 children. What they missed seeing was that Finn's pokiness and disorganization were aspects of his temperament inflated by the reactions from his parents. The message to him was, "You are not okay the way you are." Jake was not being defiant as much as distracted. His intense focus on whatever attracted his attention helped him escape from what he didn't like hearing from his parents. Natalie is at the age where the initial separation from parents and home feels like loss, regardless of how much she likes her daycare. They were each trying to make things work, but the critical demands on them to move faster and faster made cooperation difficult. Fearing they hated school but had no choice, Ken and Melissa were afraid of risking chaos if they let up on their threats and constant prodding. But once they examined their morning situation, Ken and Melissa found that the struggle wasn't about school. The boys even said they wanted to be on time to avoid walking into the classroom late and alone. What is the behavior signaling? Finn hated being rushed. The more pressure he felt, the slower he moved. Jake would turn parent deaf when the yelling began and hide himself in a book or game, anything to turn invisible. Natalie refused to get dressed, dug in her heels, and screamed, "You're not the boss of me!" Each had a problem. No one was happy. They were too busy defending themselves against their obstacle to have a pleasant morning, the negative attack strategy of their parents to hurry them. They didn't have a chance to be successful. The fact that weekends were relaxed could have clued Ken and Melissa, but they only saw school and their children's defiance as the problem. The children felt put upon, pressured, rushed, and ignored. They didn't resist in order to be bad. They resisted because they felt bad. They resisted the demands of their parents' agendas, which had no consideration for their own. But Ken and Melissa saw them as disobedient and unruly, so that's how they behaved. Their increasingly resistant behavior signaled stress and tension. Is acceptance unconditional? Finn was a night owl, always had been. Mornings were like swimming through pudding for him. He wasn't pokey to make his mother mad. His body took longer to wake up. When Melissa thought about it, she realized the same was true of herself. Jake got locked into television, making it hard to get him to do what needed to be done. And time management did not come naturally. It wasn't that Jake was disobedient. It was that he wasn't a multitasker. It took learning about temperament to see that Natalie has always had a hard time with transitions. Her clinginess in the morning wasn't meant to drive her mother nuts. It was because she didn't want to feel the pain of saying goodbye. Since being on time was their singular goal, Melissa and Ken were misinterpreting their children's behavior and sending messages that made things worse. In their frustration, they couldn't see that their 3 different children had 3 different coping strategies defending them against morning stress. Are expectations set for success or failure? Once they began working with the 8 principles, Ken and Melissa realized they were setting their children up for failure because they were expecting the behavior that had been expected of them as children. But one parent was an only child. The other complied out of fear of an alcoholic father's unpredictability. Melissa recalled her father's label of lazy when she didn't follow his time clock. She realized she was labeling Finn with pokey. Tension was already in the air by the time they woke the children, each anticipating a morning battle. Their stern voices progressed to anger as soon as anyone didn't cooperate. They were always rushing. Hurry up. How many times do I have to tell you to get dressed? Eat your breakfast. Clean that up. Turn the television off. Brush your teeth. We're going to be late. Melissa expected that it was up to the children to make mornings easier. And Ken just wanted the children to obey. He felt tense whenever Melissa was angry, so he demanded that the children do as she say. He didn't realize he was asking them to take responsibility for her tension. Is connection being made? For Ken and Melissa to connect, they had to be the first to change. First, to acknowledge that they were being disrespectful to the children with their criticisms. In order to do that, they needed to shift their perception to see that the children were having problems, not being problems. They had to give them a chance to be successful. They made a list of each of the hurdles they had to jump before getting out the door. They decided to start the day with smiles and hugs to see if that made a difference. They would need to get up 15 minutes earlier to get themselves together before wake-ups. Ken was gone by the time Natalie had to get up, so he woke the boys while Melissa finished her shower. They found it was better for one parent to handle wake-ups rather than both chiming from the doorway, "Come on, get up! It's late! Gotta move!" Ken allowed 10 minutes for wake-up time instead of calling from the door. Back rubs and soft voices got better responses. Finn was woken first, so he had a chance to move slowly before Jake got up. Being on separate details reduced the stress and criticism between the parents. Melissa noticed that when she was in the kitchen with the kids, she became a time clock, stressing everyone, starting with herself. So she focused on Natalie while the boys got their breakfast. Once Melissa realized Natalie's problem, her frustration turned to compassion, and connection came easily. She shared with Natalie how much she hated to get out of bed and out the door in the mornings, too. Natalie was amazed. "You do?" she said, feeling comforted to hear that she was not the only one to suffer this plague. "Yep, so I know just how you feel." Naming Natalie's transition difficulty from home to daycare helped Natalie feel normal, accepted, and understood. They talked about the good time she had once she got settled there and who she would see when she arrived. Together, they worked out a game to play that motivated them both to get beyond their morning problem, as they called it. What qualities need focus in order to grow? Melissa looked for situations where she could point out to Natalie how easily she made changes, for instance, from the car into the building, or from playing by herself to coming to dinner. And when dressing in the morning was particularly hard, Melissa paid extra attention helping her dress, no longer feeling manipulated. Acknowledging that Finn was not a morning person and a slow mover meant anticipating his need for more time to do anything. Ken told him how lucky he was that he would never be a type A personality, frantically on the go, and how people would enjoy being around such a relaxed person. Feeling accepted meant that Finn no longer needed to resist. He actually started moving a bit faster. Once Ken told Jake how much he admired his stick-to-itiveness, seeing something through to the finish, and his attention to details, he was in a better position to talk about the difficulty of getting out the door on time. They both agreed that he should have all his necessities done before he put his mind on what he wanted to do. One evening at the end of dinner, Ken and Melissa decided together to tell them how proud they were of all their children for refusing to submit to the pressure and demands they had been faced with in the morning. All three stared as if their parents were aliens. Assuring them that they intended to change their tune, Melissa said, "We need to come up with a morning plan, and we need your help to do it." They were all ears. By owning their problem and no longer dumping it on the children, Ken and Melissa were able to connect. Cooperation was now possible. How can the problem be solved without punishment? Melissa and Ken made it clear that mornings needed to work for everyone. They first went over their prepared list of problems. Notices were left in the bottom of backpacks. Lunch boxes were left with rotting food. Library books were misplaced and late. Homework was often forgotten, and breakfast in front of television led to battles. Melissa was late for work more often than not, and Ken left upset whenever there was yelling going on. Complaints from the children included feeling rushed, fighting over the bathroom, and yucky lunches. Over a few sessions after dinner, they worked out a contract they all agreed to, signed, and posted. 1. Basket in kitchen is for contents of backpacks that anyone else should see. Homework that needs checking, papers to be signed, and library books. 2. Finn and Jake write a bathroom schedule for each weekday morning to be shown to parents and posted on bathroom door. 3. Lunchboxes are to be emptied into trash and sink after school, or else the owner will clean out his own. If that doesn't happen, the owner receives no lunch. 4. Anyone unhappy with his lunch can place a request or make his own the night before. No changes made in the morning. 5. Clothes are picked out at night. Anyone is allowed to sleep in clothes for the following day as long as they are clean. 6. Melissa and Natalie get dressed together while boys get their breakfast. 7. Anyone missing the bus will have to drive by way of daycare first. 8. Natalie will go to daycare in pajamas with clothes in the car if she isn't dressed on time. 9. No TV in the morning. Number 9 was the only one the children hadn't co-authored and was the hardest for the children to accept. It caused a good deal of balking in the morning for about a week before they realized their complaints weren't going to change anything. Ken and Melissa stood firm, but still connected. "Yeah, of course you're mad. You were used to TV for a long time, and now we've stopped it. I'd be mad, too, if I were you," usually took the wind out of their angry sails. Are strong boundaries keeping good balance? Melissa had blamed the kids for making her late, tense, and angry each morning. Ken blamed them whenever Melissa got upset. Peace had been left entirely up to the children, handed off as their problem to fix. But it was not their responsibility. Getting up earlier helped Ken and Melissa to start the day in better balance. Nothing went as neatly as planned, but the difference was noticeable. The key was sticking to a routine and no one being asked to take responsibility for a problem that was not his. Given these boundaries, the children were more willing to help out when unforeseen problems inevitably arose. Mornings were generally calmer and much less frantic. Getting 5 people out of the house on time every morning was never easy, but it became a skirmish, not a battle.